All right, guys, good afternoon. It is, what day is it? It is Tuesday, right? I think it's Tuesday. Let me check my calendar. No, it is Wednesday. That is embarrassing because I do not know what day it is. I cannot keep up with that this week. But regardless, happy Wednesday afternoon. Glad that you're watching. Let me do this. Let me just dive right in today to Galatians 3. We've been going through Galatians over this past week. And so I'm going to just let Scripture speak for Scripture today. I'm going to give some brief comments after we read this passage. And then we're going to pray. And so, but starting in chapter 3, we're continuing this letter, this admonition that Paul is giving to the church in Galatia. And so let me start in verse 1. Verse 1 says this. I'm just going to read through it, okay? So if you have your Bibles, either a print Bible or on your phone, just feel free to read along with me. Starting in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It is before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this: did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, or are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is of those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Here's verse 10. It says, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.' Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." Verse 15 says, "To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, 'and to offsprings,' referring to many, but referring to one, 'and to your offspring, who is Christ.' This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary applies more than one, but God is one." Verse 21. "Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. And so that is Galatians 3, 29 verses. There's a lot here and a lot we could talk about, but let me just give a few very brief thoughts, and then let's pray. I would encourage you, read this again today. Study upon it. Ask the Lord to give you insight into it. But a few thoughts that I had. One was this, is that earlier on in this chapter, here at the beginning of it, particularly in verses 1 through 9, he's talking about Abraham, right? Now, the church in Galatia at this time, and one of the reasons why Paul was writing to them is because they were trying to put the burdens of the law back upon the people, and they were trying to, or they were straying away from the gospel as we know it. And so, but one of the things that as they looked at the example of Abraham, as people for thousands of years had looked at Abraham, hey, John, how are you, bud? I see your comment there. But as they looked at the example of Abraham, there was a misconception that Abraham was, that he was credited his righteousness just because of his works. And the reality is that Abraham showed faith in God. It was not Abraham's work, but his belief and his trust in the Lord. One thing that I read today that I thought was helpful as it relates to faith and the importance of faith in the life of a believer. Martin Luther says this just about faith in God. It says, faith in God constitutes the highest worship, the prime duty, the first obedience, and the foremost sacrifice. Without faith, God forfeits his glory, wisdom, truth, and mercy in us. The first duty of man is to believe in God and to honor him with his faith. Faith is truly the height of wisdom, the right kind of righteousness, the only real religion. Faith says to God, I believe what you say. I love that. Faith says to God, I believe what you say. This type of faith is not just simply belief, right? I mean, we see in Scripture elsewhere where Paul says that even the demons believe, right? It's not just a belief in who God is, but in that his words are true. And so that's the one thought, or the first thought that I had in regard to Abraham's faith. And it was more than just a faith, but it was an act of trust. Second thought is this, is that looking in the middle part of this passage, really in verses 10 through 14, we see that the righteous live by faith. That this is something that we actively, this is who we are. This is how we walk day in and day out in this union with Christ, as Zach was talking about yesterday. And also, as we have talked about for years and years as a church, for this deep abiding in Christ. And so we live by faith because of Christ, because as it says in verse 13, that Christ redeemed us from the curse by becoming the curse for us. This is the avenue in which we live by faith. It's not just blind trust or not just blind faith, but it is based upon the person of Christ and our union with him. That's the second thing. And the third thing is this, is that as Paul talks the rest of this passage, verses 15 through 29, about the law, and our relationship with the law. Like, what does that mean? You know, he talks it here about that the law was our guardian until faith came. And so for us as believers today, we do not forsake the law, our works. We do not forsake works, right? But our relationship with the law just simply changes if we are in Christ. John Piper said this in a sermon one time. He says, and I think this is immensely helpful, just kind of trying to define our relationship with the law. He says, for us, the ladder of the law has fallen in terms of us climbing this ladder, this works ladder, right? The ladder of the law has fallen, and it has become a railroad track of joyful obedience. Let me say that again. For us, the ladder of the law has fallen, and it's become a railroad track of joyful obedience. That this law gives us just some boundaries or some guidelines in which we are to live. Hopefully, in the life of us as believers, we cherish the law. We love the law. We love the words of the Lord, and we take them to heart and we obey them. But we get to do that as a response from this faith. I love how verse 23, it says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law. That word faith is synonymous with Christ, right? That we, faith, now before Christ came, we were held captive under the law. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. And so let's look at the law in its proper context and our relationship to the law. It's something that is a gift from the Lord. It was our guardian until Christ came, and it still has a place in our lives. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's just ask this specifically, that the Lord would increase our faith and our trust in Him, that He would give us a deep love for His words, that He would give us a deep love for the law, and that we would live by faith, and that we would just abide deeply in Him. Let's pray together. Lord, I come to You today. Thank You for these words out of Galatians 3. Thank You for just their power today. Thank You for their relevance today. Lord, I confess to You, Lord, and we confess to You that we have just, we continually try to get on this works treadmill, this works ladder, Lord, and that we try to put the cart before the horse. Lord, I pray that You would ground us all in the deep reality of what You have done, Jesus, that this is it is finished, that there is nothing that we can add to our salvation in the slightest iota. And thank You for the gift that You have given thousands of years ago just for Your words and Your law to us. Give us, by Your Spirit, the empowerment just to walk out Your words, God, not on our own power, but in Yours. I pray that You would increase our faith, Lord, that we would truly worship through our faith and our trust in You. Lord, that it's more than an acknowledgement that You are real, Lord, but that it is every bit of our lives that we're putting all our cards on the table, knowing that You are who You say that You are, and that we can put our trust and our hope in You, and that every action that we take today and this week is just an outflowing of that realization of who You are. Lord, I pray for those of us, again, who are continually dealing with fear, or really another word for fear being lack of faith. I pray that You would speak to that fear or that lack of faith. Lord, just speak to our anxieties. Lord, help us to give those to You. Lord, speak Your words of promise over Your people. Lord, thank You that You are with us. Lord, help us just to be deep abiders in Christ. every hour of every day. Lord, let our union with you just be so intimate and sweet. Lord, that we never want to leave that. Lord, that that is our lifeline that we hold to every day. Lord, that we must operate in that way. We must be with you. We must hear your words. Lord, we must seek you. Our lives depend on it. We love you, Jesus. Thank you today just for these sweet people in our church. I pray blessings upon them, blessings upon their families. Lord, show yourself to us today in just such a real way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Guys, thank y'all. Love y'all. Stay in your house. All right. Love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.